verses 1 through 15. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to read responsively as we do around here. I'll read the first verse, you read the second verse, we'll do that, so on, till we get to verse 15. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earning nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he made me a father to his mother and a ruler of his house, and a ruler through all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household, and all that thou hast, come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father thither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the amazing day we've already had. Lord, Lord, for that soul saved today. Lord, we thank you so much. And we rejoice with the angels in heaven that rejoice, God. Lord, I just pray that you would meet with us tonight. Lord, I pray for your Spirit's power in our service tonight, Lord, and in the preaching. In your name, amen.
Thank you, sir. You may be seated. I'm going to get right to it here tonight. This is a very familiar story and probably one of my favorite men in the Bible is Joseph. I love preaching about him. I love teaching about him. And there's just so much of Christ in Joseph, if you will. And we are, I know, a little bit late tonight, so I am going to kind of try to plow through here and try to be as clear as possible if I can. But, you know, my text verse is verse number 8. And my title is the first phrase of that verse. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Joseph is an amazing man. You know, he really is. You know, he portrays much of Christ, if you will, I said a moment ago, and portrays the grace and the mercy and unconditional love. And he has all the makings, if you will, of a kind of man that God wants to use. And we know the story very, very well, how God preserved, and he was preparing Joseph from a very young age. You know, you kind of pick him up as a teenager, obeying his dad and going into check on his brothers there, because his brothers hated him. And of course, we know the story and on that it goes there with Joseph. But we see all these makings, a fine young man, a teenager, by the way. When he was 17 years old, it was that was the time that his dad said, go and go check on your brothers. And he knew that his brothers hated him. Genesis 37, he knew his brothers hated him. He knew that his brothers couldn't stand him. That's why they fled and said, we're leaving here. We're not going to hang around this dreamer anymore. And they went on down to Shechem and so forth. And dad said, go check on them. But 17-year-old lad. You know, and this young man, you know, who deserved to stay home and deserved to stay in the security of home and be around his dad, Jacob loved him so very much, gave him a coat of many colors and so forth, and just loved him so very much. And, you know, he deserved, 17 years old, he deserved to have that security and be around that love. But he obeyed his dad, and he went on down. And, of course, here in this passage here in chapter 45, we see Joseph is revealing himself to his brethren. Much has happened just before this. We know in chapter 42 how the famine came, and Joseph had already gone through prison. He'd already been accused of rape and all this, and now he's already been brought up by Pharaoh. He interpreted the dreams and explained what the dreams were going to be, 7 good years, 7 bad years, and so forth. And finally the famine came, and Joseph's brothers and family were hungry. They went on down to Egypt because that's where the food was. And of course, in chapter 42, Jacob and his brothers came and for food and so forth. They brought everybody except Benjamin. Benjamin was and Jacob were very, very close. They were very close brothers, if you will, Joseph and Benjamin, rather. And Joseph kind of seemed to toy with them. If you read chapter 42, it's kind of one of them funny passages, if you will, because Joseph, when they all came in, you know, Joseph recognized them right away. He realized who they were. You know, and he realized why they were there and so forth. And the Bible says that, oh, you're spies. And, you know, Joseph's called them spies and so forth. And all kinds of stuff going on here. And I think, in a way, I kind of just look at it that Joseph had the power to do this. You know, he had the power, but he kind of was toying with him a little bit. And he says, you know, where's your younger brother and so forth? And so he takes Simon and imprisons him. You know, just take time and read that if you need to get caught up with the story. But he takes Simon and imprisons him, tells him, go back, get Benjamin. And the brother says, no, not Benjamin. Benjamin, you know, we lost our younger brother and so forth. And Benjamin's the youngest now and very close to my dad. It's going to hurt my dad. All that seemed to go along with it, and all the turmoil that seemed to go along with it, yet they had to go back and get Benjamin. This was quite a trip. I mean, this particular incident, particular time for these brothers, if you will, of Joseph, was really quite a trip. So when they come back, the Bible says that they were to go to the palace, and there was going to be an elegant meal there with Joseph. And in chapter 43, we see that when Joseph arrived to the palace, there was his brothers. They were a nice, elegant meal and so forth. Benjamin was there. And the Bible teaches that he was filled with emotion. In chapter 43, he was filled with emotion. He was really choked up. You know, as it was, you know, he was really, in his heart of hearts, he was excited to see his brothers. Yeah, I think he was playing with them a little bit, but he was excited to see his brothers. And now they're back, and now he's really excited to see Benjamin. The Bible says there in chapter 43 how he was broken up, so to speak. He had to go into the chamber, and he wept and so forth. He washed himself, and he washed up and came back out, not to look like he was crying and so forth. And now moving right to chapter 45, just follow me real closely here tonight. Picture with me the emotion already in this situation. Now, we just went ahead and read what was going on here, and let's just bring us up to speed here. I can well imagine the brothers over the course of events, they were already confused. They're already dazed. They couldn't understand why they had to go back, and of course, Simon was imprisoned for thievery and different things like that, and it was all kind of set up in different things, and they couldn't quite understand all this. I think they were a little bit dazed and confused here. And then Joseph goes ahead, and again, he's choked up with emotion, and he's just kind of, he's ready to go ahead and just break down. And in our text here, Joseph says, cause every man to leave, and after they all left, it was just him and his brothers, and he wept aloud. Now, I could just imagine, I'm putting myself here, and I just can't imagine, you know, these guys didn't know who they were dealing with. Joseph knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was, and I could just put myself there, and, you know, all of a sudden, here is the second in command. He just starts weeping. You know, and I have to say, these guys might have thought, this guy's nuts. I mean, all of a sudden, he just starts crying, and you know, he sends everybody out, and except for his brothers, and maybe they were starting to scratch their head a little bit and wonder what's going on. Then he goes ahead and he weeps aloud, and I think they just thought, man, what is wrong with this prince, if you will? And Joseph cried out so loud, the Bible says, that all the Egyptians, all that was around, could hear him. Then finally, Joseph reveals himself. Now, again, I put myself here. You know, this is why the Bible comes alive to me. I had the privilege, my wife and I had the privilege recently, we were down to Sight and Sound Theater. We saw Joseph. And a lot of this is already, I mean, it was pretty amazing. Normally when I go into something like that, and it's got the word biblical and Bible, I mean, I still walk in with a little apprehension and so forth, but I'll admit I was touched. I mean, they really truly did bring the Bible alive, and I'm not trying to promote Sight and Sound. If you don't like it, fine, but I enjoyed this particular story, especially because I really, really enjoy studying the life of Joseph. But I put myself here. You know, I put myself, as I was reading this, and really put myself here, and everybody's gone. Joseph's crying. Everything's kind of, you know, the guys must be thinking, man, what is going on here? Then he goes ahead and he reveals, I'm Joseph. I can imagine the eyeballs. Huh? You're supposed to be dead. You know, all the things that they must have been thinking about. Then he goes ahead, and let me just read here in verse number 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? You know, of course, he was very close to his dad, and I could just see now the emotions is really, you know, this is really, there's a lot of fear now, there's a lot of emotions going on in this room now. I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? The Bible says that the brothers could not answer. Let me just finish that verse. And his brethren could not answer, and therefore they were troubled at his presence. Yeah, I would be too. You know, you think about all the ill that they did to Joseph. Okay, now they found out that this is Joseph, and he is the second in command, and he has the power to go ahead and off them. He has that very power to go ahead and do that. And I can imagine they were very, very troubled. I can see why they were very troubled. I can imagine the fear and so forth. I can imagine they were thinking, you know what, we're dead meat, guys. You know, it's been nice knowing you. I can just well imagine everything they were, all the ill that they thought of was coming to them. They just were thinking, you know, our life is over. We are goners. It's no wonder that they're troubled. Joseph goes on to say, come near. I am Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Don't get upset. I love his grace, and this is where we're going to really talk about tonight here. But, you know, he says, don't get shook up. Don't get upset. No harm is going to go ahead and come to you. Listen, fellas, God sent me here. I love his attitude. God sent me here. Now, I love that. You know, he could have gone ahead and said, you idiots, you turkeys, you put me here. But you know, he says, God was the one that went ahead and sent me here. All the adversity, why the prison? Why being hated by his own family? Why having to leave his dad that he loves so much? Why the being thrown into the pit? Why being sold into slavery? Why going to a nation that he'd never been to, Egypt, before? Why being accused of rape and being in prison and being forgotten about in prison? Why all of this? You know, most of us would have said, you know, you brothers, you put me here. He says, you know what? God did. God went ahead. He brought me here to preserve life. You know, there was a reason for my life to have been the way it was, guys. You know, I don't know all the conversation. We read what's here in the Bible and so forth, but I can imagine some chitter chatter. Guys, don't worry about it. And I'm sure they were trembling in their shoes. I'm sure, man, we are going to die. I'm sure all the thoughts that could happen to them were going through their minds. You know, he's going to go ahead and kill us. But Joseph, in all grace and love and unconditional love to his brothers, he says, hey, fellas, don't worry about it. Don't get shook up. I'm going to take care of you. God brought me here to preserve life. Not your fault. The truth of the matter is, guys, you're not going to get the credit for this. You know, truth of the matter is, guys, you know what? God, you know, they know the position he's in. You're not going to get the credit for the position I'm in. You know what? God gets it all. God had a purpose and he had a plan for my life. Guys, God brought me here. You know, in verse 8, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Hey, you know what? Maybe you got some trials. Maybe you got some heartaches. Maybe you got some problems. And you've got some very tough circumstances. Joseph, man, the circumstances. I can imagine as a young man, all the adversity and all the trials that he went through. You know what? The circumstances of life must have been overwhelming. But you know what? He kept on serving God. He kept on pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. He kept on singing the praises of God. He kept on doing what God wanted him to do. He didn't go ahead and give up on God. He didn't go ahead and quit on God. He didn't go ahead and shake his fist on God. And as a result, God says, I trust you, Joseph. So there you go. You're going to be second in command. You know what? You'd be amazed. You just stick with it. You go through some tough circumstances. You may go through some trials. You may go through some heartaches. But you know what? You just keep on sticking with it. You just keep on raising that family for the cause of Christ. You just keep on getting your family in church. You keep on doing right. You keep on serving God in that ministry. Even when all the chips are down, even when all the problems may come, even when there's no money, even when there's no food, even when everything seems to go wrong, but you just keep on trusting Him. And you know, you'd be surprised what God will do for you. You know, He's not a respecter of persons. What He did for Joseph, He can do for you, by the way. It won't necessarily be the same position, obviously, but He'll go ahead and lift you up, and He'll take care of you, and you'll be amazed what He'll do. You know, Joseph could have squashed him like a bug. Joseph could have gone ahead and killed them. Joseph could have gone ahead and got rid of them, but he did not. Joe, you know, these guys, you think about it, and think about it a moment, all the adversity that you go through. Maybe someone went ahead and caused some problems in your life. I don't know, maybe a close relationship, maybe a mother or a father, or maybe a sister or a brother, or maybe an acquaintance or a friend caused some adversity in your life. Let me ask you a question, how would you react? You know what, I see very clear an illustration or how we should act in the life of Joseph. Forgive. It takes a big man to go ahead and forgive when someone wrongs you, doesn't it? Boy, that's big Christianity when you think about it. You know, well, you don't understand what they did, preacher. You know what? God says forgive, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what? God says you go ahead and you forgive them, and don't you go ahead and retaliate against them, and maybe they won't go ahead and forgive you, or maybe the relationship can't be restored, but you be the big Christian. You be the kind of Christian God wants you to be, and you go ahead and forgive. You know what? I see forgiveness bathed all through the life of Joseph. You know, Joseph had much adversity. Boy, the list can go on, and we know all that he went through before he got to the palace. But you know, he never lifted a finger against his own blood. You know, your blood may wrong you. I alluded to it a moment ago. But you have no right to lift a finger against them. You want to say all the bad words. You want to say all them hurtful words against them because they did wrong to you. You know, again, I urge you. You know what? You do right by God. And you do right by your Christianity. Say, you know what? I'm not going to go ahead and go to that level. I'm going to love them. I'm going to forgive them. And don't you lift a finger to them. Don't you do it. You know, Joseph revealed himself and said, it's not you that brought me here, but God did. It's not you that brought me here. You know, he was saying that this was all part of God's plan for your life. You know what? Sometimes we do get dealt a bad hand. You know, we like to think that we live in this fairy tale world, if you will, that nothing's ever going to happen to us. I'm talking about from birth to death and so forth. And, you know, that dash of life, if you will, if you look on a tombstone, you see the date of birth, you see the date of death. You know what? All that really matters is that dash right there in the very center. And now we hope and we pray that that dash is always going to be that of success. We hope and we pray that that dash is always going to be wonderful things and good health and good wealth and everything's going to be great and nothing's going to happen to my spouse and nothing's going to happen to my children and my children are going to be healthy and my spouse is always going to be healthy and I'm going to always have a job. You know, we always want that dash of life to be great. But let me tell you something. You know, that dash of life, of course, can represent the will of God. And whatever it is that you may go through, you're going to go through some valleys. You may go through some dark times and you're going to have your share of mountaintops and so forth. But you need to understand whatever it is that comes your way is the will of God. It is. We don't like it. I didn't like it when cancer came in our family 2006. But you know, I know now that it was the will of God. I don't like it when I've had more months than money. But you know what? Oftentimes it could have been very well been the will of God. I don't like it when I'm sick. I don't like it when my kids are sick. I don't like it when I lose a job. But you know what? It could very well be that it is the will of God. And don't you go ahead and quit on God. And don't you go ahead and shake a fist at God. Don't you shake your finger at God. You just say, I'm going to keep on trusting Him with all my heart. I'm going to get myself out of the way. And I'm just going to trust Him. Understand that it is the will of God. That's what Joseph was saying. You know what? It's not you that brought me here. God put me here. It was His will. Guys, I don't know whether he went through all the I don't know. I mean, can you just see them all getting together? And I don't know whether I think Joseph was much more gracious than to go ahead and say, hey, guys, let me sit down. I forgive you. I love you. But I just want to go ahead and talk to you a little while, tell you everything I went through. I don't think he did that. But Joseph knows in the back of his mind, boy, you know what? You know what my brothers put me through, though? They put me through all these certain things. They put me all through all this trouble. They put me all through all this heartache. How many nights I cried to be with my dad. How many nights that I cried to have a close relationship with my brothers. How many nights that I wept and I was all alone and I was in that cold, dark, dungy prison. You know, it's big stuff for him to say, it was not you that brought me here. Guys, you're not getting the credit, but God put me here. That's big Christianity. Boy, that's what we need tonight is some big Christians. We need some Christians that, you know what, when the adversity comes, they're not going to shake their fist at God. They're not going to go ahead and get mad. They're not going to bail out. They're going to re-enlist, if you will. They're going to keep on enduring hardness as a good soldier. They're not going to turn their back on God. They're going to stay faithful to their family. They're going to stay faithful to their church. They're going to stay faithful to that Sunday school class. They're going to stay faithful in rearing their kids for the cause of Christ. They're going to stay faithful on that bus route. They're going to stay faithful to soul winning. Hey, what we need tonight is God's people to say, hey, I'm not going to go ahead and quit on God. There's a purpose and a plan for this in my life. I don't quite understand it, God. I don't understand why this is happening to me, but you know, I'm going to trust you, and in due time, he will raise you up. He will bring you to the point where you belong. Let me just go ahead and show you. You know what? What do you do in tough circumstances? And they come. You know what? If your life has been peachy, you know what? Let me just go ahead and warn you, and I don't mean to be a deliverer or a bearer of bad news. If your life has been peachy and wonderful, hold on, because a struggle will come. You know, as long as we're robed in flesh and as long as we are living this side of heaven, you know what? You're going to have your valleys. You're going to have your heartaches. You know, you young people, it's easy right now, isn't it? It should be on the most part. You know, on the most part, you're provided for, and you've got your clothes on your back, you've got your roof over your head, you've got a nice warm bed to go ahead and sleep in, and you've got some food to eat and so forth. On the most part, it's pretty easy. But let me tell you something. You wait till you grow up and you get out there and get married and get a mortgage and stuff and get a job and so forth. You know what? Your trials are going to come. Let me just stop and say this. Let me just stop and say that it's Father's Day You know, let me just stop and say this to you young people. You're living at home still, and talking about you teenagers, you children. You thank God for your mom and your dad. Now, I'm going somewhere here. Just follow me for a minute. And even when they can't go ahead and give you everything they want, you still thank God for them. You know, we live in such a society that, man, if I don't have what so-and-so has, you know, then I'm not, you know, status symbols. You know, well, they got a cell phone, so I need to have a cell phone. Not really. Okay, now, I'm not preaching against cell phones right now, but, you know, if it's not if your parents or if it's not able to be afforded in your home, you don't need to have a cell phone. You know, but we have all these status symbols. Well, you know, so-and-so dresses in the finest clothes. They go to JCPenney and they get all their clothes, or they go to who knows where and they get all their clothes. Well, good for them. You know, what I'm trying to say is, you know what? You don't need to be a spoiled brat. And don't you go weeping and wailing to your room because you can't get something that you want. Amen. You know, don't you go ahead and, you know, I can't go ahead and have all that stuff. And you know what? Thank God that your parents love you. Thank God that they're providing for you. Thank God for the clothes on your back. Thank God for the food and raiment. Therewith be content, if you will. Thank God for what you have. Stop your sashing your mom and dad because you feel like you can't live high off the hog and you feel like you can't have everything that your friends have. You know, you thank God for your mom and dad. Stop giving them a hard time because they can't go ahead and necessarily give you everything you want. That was just a little commercial. Move right along. What to do in circumstances. But you know, I'm not going to get on. That's fine. Circumstances. Talk about Joseph here. Circumstances may not change right away, but they change in accordance to how you respond to them. Now think of the life of Joseph a minute. Joseph went through some unbelievable circumstances. You know, so just think for a moment here. You know, and the circumstances, the trials, if you will, for Joseph, they didn't change right away. I can imagine when he was put into that pit and sold into slavery and riding a camel on into Egypt and so forth, you know, I can imagine he was in shock. I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe this happened to me. God, would you please deliver me? God, I don't know. I'm, you know, 17-year-old boy. I can imagine it's fair to say that he was probably scared. He's all alone now. His brothers couldn't stand him. I can imagine the loneliness and the feelings that he's going through. That my own brothers, they don't even love me, and this is where I am. And now he's being toted off to Egypt and so forth, sold as a slave, and of course he was went into Potiphar's house, and then of course he was accused of rape there, and sent into prison, and he was forgotten about. You know, the list goes on and on for all the circumstances. And you know what? Things didn't change right away. As a matter of fact, it was about 22 years from what I understand. Things didn't happen just overnight for him. I can imagine during that time, you know, as I said a moment ago, he was probably weeping and wailing. He was probably missing his daddy. He was probably missing even his brothers because of the kind of heart that he was. He couldn't understand all this. God, I don't understand why all this is happening to me. But the circumstances did not change right away, but they changed in accordance to the way he responded to them. Through it all, and I don't have time to turn to it, but just about every stage of his life, from the time that he left home to the time he got to the palace, you will see that God prospered him like 3 or 4 different times. In everything that Joseph did, whether it be in the Potiphar's house, he was prospered there. Whether it be in the prison, he was prospered there. Everything that he did, God blessed him. God prospered him. And you know what? And God wouldn't have gone ahead and blessed him had he gone ahead and sat down there and said, well, this is not fair. I don't want to do this anymore. God, this isn't right. I'm mad. I'm upset. God, this isn't right. And sitting there pouting and having a push. You know what? God wouldn't have blessed that kind of attitude. But you know, all through it all, you study the life of Joseph, you see that, boy, he pleased God. He served God well in the place that he was. He realized his testimony was very, very important. And by the way, Christian, your testimony is very important. You go to work tomorrow, you understand that you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and you need to act like an ambassador for Jesus Christ on the job tomorrow, and serve him, and serve the Lord, and don't hang around the wrong crowd, don't say the word. Words and don't cheat on your time card. Hey, realize who you are. You go to school, maybe not tomorrow now, your summertime or whatever the case may be, but wherever you may go, teenager, you realize as a saved individual, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Your testimony is very, very important. Don't you allow your testimony to go ahead and discourage somebody else who's looking at you and say, you go to church? They shouldn't have to scratch your head by the way that you look, by the way you dress, by the way you use your words, by what you listen to. You go to church. They ought to see by your testimony that you're a child of the King. They ought to see that you love the Lord. There ought to be a light that so shines before men. Hey, you know what? But Joseph, you know what? His circumstances didn't change right away. But you know what? They changed in accordance to how he responded to his circumstances. I know he had to have been lonely. He had to have been scared. He had to have been distraught at times. But I think this young man was so godly. I just believe he was a godly man, being the son of Jacob. And as he was thrown in that prison and riding that camel, I can imagine, yes, all the feelings of emotion that he had. But I could see a young lad, if you will, saying, God, I'm just going to trust you here. As he was working in the Potiphar's house and working as a slave and being sold as a slave, God, I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust you here. As he was thrown into prison and, you know, on all the adversity, you know, I'm going to go ahead and trust you here, God. You know, he responded to every bit of adversity properly. And it's no wonder that God, you know what, God was making and preparing. God was using his adversity. God was using his trials. God was using his circumstances. And he was making and molding a man of God doing a great thing down the road. He was preparing him for something big down the road. And he never responded in a poor way from what I can see. What if he had a bad attitude? Joseph could have been bitter. He could have been. You know, here he was, you know, he could have had a very bitter spirit. Now he meets his brothers. He could have been very bitter. He could have been, he could have gone ahead and literally destroyed them. What if he had a bad attitude? What if he did become bitter while he was a slave? I guarantee you, he would not have been heading to the palace. He would not have. God is not going to go ahead and use some bitter person to go ahead and do something big for him. He's not going to use someone that quits on him and gets all upset at him and shakes his... God's not going to use that kind of attitude. But he's going to use someone who's faithful and true and steady, has a steady hand through all the trials, whether it be low or high. He's just going to be steady, and he keeps his eyes focused on the Lord, and he's going to trust in the Lord. He didn't respond negatively. He put away bitterness. You know, you might be here tonight. You know what? Maybe you're a little bit. There might be a root of bitterness somewhere in your life because someone or something happened to you whenever, wherever, however. And you know what? You've got a root of bitterness. And you know what? That root is so tough. And you've got a hard exterior, if you will. And you're frustrated. You're mad at, you know, to some degree. Maybe you kind of put on the act a little bit on Sunday. But to some degree, in your heart of hearts, you're hardened. You're hardened towards God. I can't believe this happened in my life. I can't believe this happened to my family. I can't believe this happened to my loved one. And you know what? About the time that you started questioning God, that root started. And you know what? That started festering and it started growing. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 about the root of bitterness, it'll go ahead and defile you. And let me tell you something. If you're here and you're bitter tonight, you know God, you ought to turn that, whatever it is, over to God. And God has that capability and the strength to reach on down into your heart and take that bitter root and pull it up out and destroy it. He has that capability. You don't have to be bitter tonight. You don't have to be a bitter Christian tonight. You don't have to say, you know, the moment that you say it's not fair, let me tell you something. The moment you say that, I'm pointing out the very fact that you've got a bitter heart. The moment you say, God, this isn't right, this is not fair, you better be careful. You just planted a seed of bitterness in your heart. Don't you be bitter. Joseph was not bitter in his circumstances. Some quit on God because of difficulties. And as a result, they never receive the full blessing of God in their life because they quit. They will never receive all that God has for them simply because the times got difficult, the times got rough, and they went ahead and they quit on God. Quitting responds, instead of quitting, respond to your circumstances as an opportunity. You know, respond to that circumstance that I don't understand why I'm in this situation. But you know what, God? I know that you do. And I'm going to keep my eyes focused on you. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways. I'm not going to turn back. I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And I'm just going to keep on keeping on and pressing on the upward way. And I'm not going to turn back. And you know what? Yeah, that's the kind of guy, that's the kind of Christian, if you will, that is responding in the right way. You don't understand why the circumstance, but you know that God does, and in due time, He'll reveal to you why it is, and you're going to be able to help somebody. You might make it a ministry in your life. You're going to be able to help somebody down the road. You're going to be able to help your family. And let me tell you something. You go ahead and you quit on God. Before you do, you think about the repercussions on your wife or your husband or your children. You think about what quitting on God will do for them. It will have an adverse effect. I promise you. I can tell you people, family after family, that went ahead and quit church. I've had enough! I can take you to people, and tonight they've wandered far away, and they're in who knows where. Their families are all messed up. Had one lady say, I don't understand why my children. As a matter of fact, I got blamed because their one teenage son went way off deep into the world. And the truth of the matter is, I was a youth pastor that when she decided to make her decision leaving church and all of that, I tried to reach out to their family and so forth. I tried to bring his son and trying to work with him. And just things weren't clicking together, but our church kept on reaching out to him. And I was the one that got blamed, literally, for her son going deep into the world, doing drugs and all of this. I said, well, thank you. Later on, she came and apologized. She was just saying it out of frustration. But you be careful. You know, before you quit, you think about who it's going to hurt. Before you go ahead, you know, the trials are too much, and I just don't think I can handle it. Before you go ahead and say, you know, I'm not going to trust in the Lord, I'm not going to follow His way, before you say that, I don't think God can quite understand this, so I'm just going to try a different way. Before you do, you better go ahead and look down the road and see how it's going to affect your family. Affect that Sunday school class. Affect that influence, if you will, in the younger generation. Let's move right on. Number next. When you look at your circumstances properly, and Joseph did. Boy, Joseph looked at his circumstances, man, in such a godly manner. You know what? It will be then that you will see God's limitless power. You know, God's power is so vast. It is so great. You know, we sing the song with our kids, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's a lot of truth in that little song. So strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. You know what? When you go ahead and you look at whatever situation you're going through in a proper way, you know what? It will be then you will see God's limitless power. You know, we serve a limitless God. Do you understand that, you know, the economy may be bad, but that doesn't affect God tonight? The stock market may go ahead and crash, but you know what? That's not affecting God tonight. Your checkbook may be out of balance or, you know, whatever, but you know what? That's not affecting God tonight. Do you understand? And you know what? I think as Joseph was maturing in his Christian life, he realized, man, I serve a limitless God. And boy, you know, I've seen him go ahead and he brought me, he provided, he prospered me, if you will. He put me in the place of Potiphar. I got to serve Potiphar and I took care of his household, if you will. And yeah, of course, he got accused. He went into prison and then he was very important individual in prison, and he was very well liked and kind of had some position, if you will, even in the prison cell. And then of course later on he interpreted the dreams and so forth. You know what? I think all along the way that every time that God, Joseph saw God pull him out of these tough areas and pull him out of the pit and pull him out of the prison, you know, I think he says, man, God, you are awesome. You know, he could have sat there frustrated, but I think through it all, boy, once he realized, man, God, your power is so limitless. God, you're awesome. You know why? You know why he was able to witness that? Because he looked at his circumstances. He looked at his adversity in a Christian way. And he responded right to him. You know, we serve a God of no limits. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know what? We're the ones that limit God because of our sin and our unbelief. It's not God. God's got a whole checkbook full of blessings. He's ready to go ahead and bestow upon you. But you know what? It's because of our sin or our unbelief that we don't get all that we can from God. Numbers 13, it talks about children of Israel. They came to the border of the promised land. Remember that? You know, and the two spies go on in there, and boy, you know, it was everything it was expected to be, you know, the grapes, and boy, land of plenty, the land of milk and honey, and yeah, they realize that there's some giants in the land. They come on back, and I can imagine the children of Israel, man, woo, man, we're close, we are ready, I can't wait for the report, we are ready to go to the promised land, woo, we are right there, I can't wait for the report. They come back too, the guys come back, well, the 10 spies, I should say, come back. And they report, oh, it's everything God said it was. It's a land filled with milk and honey. Oh, man, it's beautiful. Man, the grapes are huge. It's everything. But, you know, there are some giants. You know, 8 of them go ahead and they say how bad it was. You know, you read Numbers 13 later on. You know, but there was 2, Joshua and Caleb. I mean, man, I love them guys. Whew. Yeah, remember, guys, I can't wait to sit down with in heaven, amen? You know what I mean? I want to sit down, and I can't wait. But anyways, I think we're going to be able to, amen, get schooled from these guys. And but, boy, their belief was big. And say, you know, but the 8 said, oh, yeah, a little bit too hard, wimps. Sorry, they're just them wimpy little spies, you know. We can't do this. And, of course, because of their report, because of the 8, it shook up all the rest of the nation of Israel. Well, you know, But two said, hey, we can do this, man. You know, they stepped up and said, boy, you know what? We can do this. We got God on our side. Boy, they were excited. Man, we can go ahead and do this. But because of the bad report of the eight, and as a result of their unbelief, 40 more years of wandering. They didn't trust God enough. They didn't believe that God can. Do you understand that we serve an I can God? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Doesn't matter where you are, what your position, who you are tonight. You know what? Doesn't matter whether you're down and depressed. Guess what? We serve an I can God. He can get you out of depression. He can get you out of your addiction. He can get you out of your sin tonight. You just need to go ahead and trust him. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You say, I don't quite understand, preacher. I don't understand. But guess what? I know a God that can and does understand. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Them two spies, they understood that. And because of their belief, they got to still live long enough to get to the promised land. The whole generation was lost. But Joseph, he knew what sticking with it was all about. He knew that, boy, he needed to respond to his circumstances in a right and proper way. And he knew that I serve a limitless God. Your preacher stands tonight and said, guess what? We serve a limitless God. You got more month than money? Guess what? God's a God of no limits. Your health may not be very well. Guess what? God's a God of no limits. You know, you don't understand. You're not sure about what's going to happen to your job or the economy. Guess what? God is a God of no limits. He is. You know, he's got the whole world in his hands. He knows. And then next, the proper perspective in your circumstances will bring blessing. Right now, where we read in Genesis chapter 45, where is Joseph? He is second in command in the palace. All through it all, he kept his sights upon God, and God blessed him. You know what? Something happens, your faith gets rattled, gets shaken, and you just start getting nervous and you start backing away from God. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know what you need to do when your faith gets rattled? You need to keep on running to him. You just need to keep on, God, I don't quite see it. I don't understand it. But I know there's going to be some blessing at the end of this. I know there's victory at the end of the tunnel. I know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm just going to keep on going forward and not turn back. That's exactly what Joseph's life was all about. He never turned back in the face of adversity. You know what, young people? You know what? You're going to face some adversity. Right now it's great, isn't it? But you will. And when that adversity comes, how will you respond? Mom and Dad, as a leader of your home, you face some adversity, haven't you? You know how you handle that adversity is going to determine a lot of the faith that your children have in God. If you go ahead and say, well, you know, this, no, we're just done. You know what that's going to say to your kids? Well, my dad's God doesn't seem to be big enough to get us through this. So, you know what? You have just done a good job in shaking their faith in Almighty God. You know what? The valley's going to come. Doesn't matter. Moms and dads, you felt it. I felt it. We've all felt it. Most every adult, if you will, in this room has felt some very severe adversity in your life. And you know what? You're here by the grace of God tonight because, you know, probably because when the adversity came, you knew how to respond. You knew how to respond. You knew that I ain't quitting. I'm not quitting on God. I'm not quitting on church. I'm not quitting on my King James Bible. I'm not going to quit on soul winning. I'm not going to quit on the preaching. I'm not going to quit on doing right. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. And let me tell you something. God has literally blessed you, hasn't he? Because you kept with it. I can testify to that. You know what? Proper perspective will bring blessing. Look at what Joseph is. He didn't understand all them dreams. His brothers and his family didn't understand all them dreams way back yonder as a 17-year-old lad. But God knew exactly what he was doing, wasn't he? He was slowly preparing a young man to a middle-aged man to get to a point where he was going to take care of a whole nation. God had a big plan for Joseph. And the reason why I believe he fulfilled the plan of God and he was in the center of God's will, because he responded correctly in the face of adversity. Adversity, I have seen it, causes many to quit. You know what? Because God's not a respecter of persons. I think I said earlier, what he did for Joseph, he will do for you. Sometimes I don't think we quite understand that. God, I think, you know, it's just too big. My situation is just too big. We serve a big God. I mean, just stop and think a little bit. You know, our brother went ahead and talked about it a little bit. You know, we don't stop and really thank God enough and maybe say thank you and say please enough, if you will. But I don't think we really totally understand the vastness of how big God is. You know, the very God that spoke this world into existence, the very God that went ahead and breathed life into you, is the very God that'll take care of every single situation that you'll go through from here on out. And if you had a chance to testify behind this pulpit, I guarantee you, person after person could line up and say, let me tell you how good God's been to me. Oh, I've had some hard times. I've had some adversities. And you may go ahead and cry and even maybe blubber your way through it. But you know what? Because your faithfulness, because your stick-to-itiveness, because you love God and you know that God's going to see you through, you know that you've experienced his blessing. Why? Because you kept your focus upon Jesus Christ. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He ought to be before you. Don't you ever get ahead of him. That's where the trouble comes. But he ought to be before you. And he's got his hand extended to you. And where he leads, you need to follow. He may lead you to a valley. But you can guarantee and know that he's going to be there walking through the valley with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, I say it time and time again, you know, there will be some here that won't be here 10 years from now, or let me just even narrow that down a year from now, because your faith got shaken. Something happened. Maybe a critical tone. Maybe you listened to criticism. Or maybe a sickness. Your faith got shaken and you said, enough. You made the choice, not God. You made the choice. You walked out the doors and you basically put God aside. As a result, the blessings will not flow the way they should flow to you. Your salvation is sure. Nothing changes that. But you know what? God will do a lot with a faithful man. In the midst of anything that they go through, God will go ahead and do a lot with a faithful man. I ask you tonight, are you griping about something? It's not fair. Better be careful. You got a little root of bitterness? Is beginning to go ahead and affect you, and then many will be defiled as a result of it. You know what? God has that ability to go ahead and pull that root of bitterness out, but you've got to go ahead and let it go. You've got to take the first step. Money problems, health problems, whatever the case may be, your faith a little bit rattled tonight. You know, maybe you need to come forward and say, God, I know my faith isn't what it should be, and I'm going to set that button. I'm going to strengthen my faith. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to listen to your word being taught and preached. And I'm going to be faithful to you every step of the way. And I'm not turning back. Joseph, man, what a guy. I could preach about him all night long and still not cover his whole life. But you know what? He is a man who could have been so bitter and could have offed his brothers when they went ahead and they showed themselves and he revealed themselves. Again, I put myself there. That had to have been quite a sight. When he said, "I am Joseph," I could just imagine. Whew, I could just imagine these guys thought, "We're dead now." But you know what God, you know what Joseph said? "God brought me here to preserve life. It is not you that brought me hither, but God." Truth of the matter is, guys, you ain't getting the credit for my position. God's been faithful to me every step of the way. And this is where I am. You know why? Because he knew that you were going to go through this famine one day. And through his wisdom that he gave me, I was able to go ahead and tell Potiphar, "This is what's happening. And this is where I am. And this is all power." You know what? He brought me here to preserve your life, guys. God's hand was in his life every step of the way. Your battle you may be going through, your circumstance you may be going through, you better understand, it's God that put you there. You know, God might be put you there to go ahead and try to learn something, to teach you something. And why don't you go ahead and take the lesson that he's trying to learn, teach you. Learn it. And use it. Don't squander it. Use it for his glory. Use it for the ministry. Use it to help somebody else. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, God. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for this man, Joseph. What a great man of God. Oh, to have some Josephs. Oh, to have people, God's people, that wouldn't be bitter and upset and critical and unforgiving, God. I pray, dear God, that we would have a kind of sweet spirit amongst God's people and to God's people, Lord. I